Bless Karen. That was really good. Ward, we want you to talk to all of us today. Whatever you're putting each one of us and speak through us and to us, all of us, this morning. Thank you. Yeah, like Karen said, thank you for worship. Thank you for worship songs, the music and the lyrics and how you come. Amazing. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We're always, well, we're children. Well, we need encouragement from you all the time. And may we be encouraging to you. In Jesus' name. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but we're like always stuff's happening lately in the world. We've gone from it being, yeah, same old, to like, what's going to happen tomorrow? That kind of thing. I don't know, not important to you, but it's just my whatever. The neighbors next to us, down two doors, owned the old, when I was young, it was the a Costco store or something. They had stuff in the front, and then it went, and they had stuff on the top floor, and the top floor went across to their back building in the alley out here. Like, it goes over, if you go out in the alley, you'll see there's a cross thing. Some gentlemen have bought them. They bought them and they were working on them. They were turning to apartments and COVID hit. And they seem to be, it just seems all to be sitting there, maybe, you know, their investment. So anyway, but as being younger, we would have Christmas parade downtown at night. And they would, a lot of the stores would open up during the Christmas parade. And as soon as the Christmas parade was open, you could go in and buy Christmas items in this crossover area out back. So I have this childhood memory of that. And then where the Board of Education is now, the Grant store was there, and it had a basement. You could go down the steps in the front if you walked in, and it went down, and then they had all this stuff in the basement. And I don't know what they had down there, but I certainly liked going down there. So, fish down there for sale? Yes. Yes, I bought some fish there. And toys. Yeah, there had to be other stuff there. Yeah, why would I go to the downstairs? So in Gadsden, we've been having every Saturday for a few more weeks. There is a little group of people that sign up for this, and they do a guided tour through downtown. So 2 weeks ago, I brought them in here because I knew a couple of people leading it and showed them these two buildings. And yesterday, I just waved at them. I was sitting in the window doing something. They waved at me and like, but I could hear them talking about places around here because like this building is 1894. And so it had a bunch of attorneys in it at one time before they took the courthouse apart. And I was surprised. I thought the courthouse had burned or something had happened. No, they just got tired of it. They just decided they'd take it apart. It wasn't like the prenup that caught fire on the top stories, you know, and they saved the bottom. No, they just decided that it was old and they didn't want to do anything else to it, and they took it apart. So... And there were single women who lived upstairs, I think, in the building next over on the top floor. And they rented them a room for like $5 a month. And they worked downtown and stuff. And so the last major use of this building was the Hagedorns had it. You're now sitting in Hagedorn's women's section. And behind that wall, there is a passageway that the things, we've got it stuck because it slides downhill, and it went into the children's department, and the men's store was over there, and that closet right there, if it doesn't have a door on it, if you look in it, it's covered, it's lined with cedar because they kept the fancy coats in there. So, Keith, you're also sitting on top of the CD Coffee and Tea Company right now. If you're on that tile section from the 1930s, I'm not sure. You can still barely make it out. If you're walking down the street and you squint your eyes, on the side of the building upstairs, you can see the design barely on it, on the side of this building on up. I've always wanted to paint something up there, like, then get in trouble, like, you know, like, I don't know, Bugs Bunny, something that would, they wouldn't appreciate that. So, okay. Wow. So, Friday, April 5th, we had an earthquake centered in New Jersey. You know, we've got one of our daughters lives in New York City in the West Village, and she thought her stuff was going to vibrate off the shelves and break, but they didn't. It kind of stopped. And we haven't had it was a 4.8. We haven't had one centered from the New Jersey area. It came from there. 1884 was the last time they've had an earthquake up there. So it was kind of the talk of business, if you noticed that the other day. And then we had, Lloyd sent me a really good picture from somewhere you work of the eclipse. Yes, I didn't realize it was like a 3/4 of an eclipse. I don't know where my glasses. Yeah, from that skylight. Yeah, thank you for sending that. So you know, we weren't in total eclipse, but that was fascinating. And spiritually, you know, I can't remember all the things they said, but we're in a period of time where the distance between the earth and the moon is just right. It's got the number 400 something in it, because they repeat 400 twice, like the width of the moon right now, and because it has been closer in its orbit years and years and years ago, and eventually it will get further away and it won't do this, but right now it covers the sun exactly to the edges so that you can see the flares of the sun around the outside. And this is only in periods, as we say, of years. It's a rare period of time that the moon is the distance it is for the width of the moon's shadow and the earth. And so we had this big event, and like, you know, the next time we have total eclipse in the United States, it's going to be a while. 44, the year 2044. Yeah. Well, I remember driving up to Tennessee and seeing one that was right about the amount of this one was. We decided we wouldn't want to drive any further. We were on the other side of Chattanooga, somewhere up the road. And so we all got out and we had our glasses, and all these other people had parked, and we were all in the interstate. And then you didn't think, wow, when this is over, we're going to have to all drive home. Thousands of cars are going to want to drive home. It was a long day for those few minutes. So, but how the light changed colors. I know y'all thought that's not in the Bible. This is, I know you want to know where we're going to go here. Yeah. Stuff's been happening. And if you've got friends like I've got friends, well, let me phrase that differently. Some of my friends, I have a few thousand friends that occasionally write me something or something I've put up, and a few of them are conspiracy people. So they write some very fascinating, very long things on different subjects. Well, with the earthquake the other day and then the total eclipse, one of them was about ready to pack up and go way on a mountaintop. They were just sure Jesus was coming right now. They were very sincere in that. Like, well, that could be true. And then yesterday afternoon, time-wise, it is now, what time is it in Israel? It's 7:18 in the evening in Tel Aviv. So Lord, we ask you to be with Israel. And we know they're expecting Messiah to come And we know he's already come as Christians. But they're expecting, they're looking for the first time for you to come, Lord Jesus. And we have friends that are Jewish by birth, but they don't practice much. And others that are very Orthodox. When you're in New York City, you'll see some very Orthodox Jews, Hasidic Jews, and by the clothing that they wear and stuff. And Lord, would you use this period of time to spiritually awaken many in the Jewish, the large number we have in the United States, and those in Israel and around the world. Would you awaken them, Lord, as you've awakened us to you, Lord Jesus? Protect them, Lord. Heal the little 10-year-old that got hurt last night in our time. And the others that got hurt, in Jesus' name. So we don't know what's going to happen next. You know, if you listen to news, eventually every 20 minutes there's somebody saying, well, we're on the verge of World War III. Well, maybe we are. Maybe we aren't. Yeah. It's like always stuff. So I was sitting in the back out. Do y'all mind me talking? I don't know why I'm talking like this, but just let me, just if you don't mind. So I'm sitting in the back alley in the shadow where I parked my truck under the overhang of the Tosco, and that's why I was saying, talking about that. And I've got the windows down. It was a nice day, and I'm sitting back there. And I have a couple that are, they pastor a church. I forgot which state it was in. And there is a mutual friend that they have. And so I keep coming up on this lady's feed, and so she wrote me 2 or 3 days ago and says, why do you keep coming up on my feed? I don't know you. I said, well, we've got mutual friends. I don't have time right now. I'll look it up. So I looked up the Jacksons and sent her a note. Danielle's the wife, and I forget her husband's name. Jackson's their last name. So yesterday, naturally, any time that you're going to read the Bible or study, isn't that when stuff happens? You know, so I'm sitting back there. I'm having a really good time in Isaiah, and bing, she goes, did you find out who it is that we know? Yes, I did. She said, well, I'm from Hong Kong, and I went to university, and I live in L.A., and where are you? I said, well, I'm in, and you know, when you meet people online, you're like, are they up to something? Are they just going to go out? And I need $100. Could it help my, you know, you don't know. So I really still don't know what her, and if you're watching this, it's nothing personal. I'm just telling this little bit of the story. Because I don't think she's on Facebook. So she says, I'm in LA. I said, I'm in Gadsden, Alabama. I'm a pastor. I've been doing this a while. I was an art teacher for 25 years, and I did both of them together, and then she says, like a compliment, wow, you've done a lot of things. Well, yeah, sort of, kind of, you know. And I said, I'm sitting right now reading in the book of Isaiah, sitting in the shade. It's very nice where I am right this moment. And then her next phrase was, well, I'm an atheist. I said, okay. And after I said okay, I thought, well, maybe she'll, you know, you lay the phone down, you go back, like, now where was I in Isaiah? Oh yeah, I was on this one. Bing, phone goes off again. She says, you're not a racist, are you? No, I have 2 granddaughters that are from China. They have here's a picture of them from a few years ago. So I sent her a picture. And here's a picture of them like last week. Wow. That tall one's getting older. I said, yeah, she's 17 and the other one's 10. And their parents went all the way to China to adopt these 2 girls one at a time. And you know, their hair is white because they have albinism. So I want to go, so I'm not a racist. You understand? You know. So whatever's going on in this is like, she said, so maybe we should exchange numbers. I said, no, not right now. My wife is a biblical counselor. And as a pastor, I like talking to people. So if I did that, I would spend a lot of time talking to you and get not as much done as I should today, seeing that tomorrow I need to see what God's up to. I said, my wife can read this whole string with exactly what we're saying here. So she said, okay, I understand. I said, thanks. So then she didn't write back. So now it's hanging out there. I so want to go after the atheist part. Because as an art teacher, we just got into this regularly in the art room. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe in God. I go, well, yeah, you know I do. I said, would you like to know some of it? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, let me tell you one from a guy named Josh McDowell that I saw him at Auburn. Josh said, well, if you walk into a children's room and they've got some blocks, lettering blocks. What do you call blocks that's got letters on them? Blocks with, huh? Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about the name of it. Like, what do you call it? Well, yeah, blocks with letters. Alphabetical, yeah. So if we walk into a children's room, and we see they've been playing with blocks, the blocks are just scattered out there, and they're not, and, you know, and they've just, there's nothing really going on. Okay, that's one thing. But if you walk in the next day, and the word cat is put together in the blocks, and the word dog is over here put together, then what is your first detective piece of information? Someone of intelligence has been in this room because these blocks did not arrange themselves and spell two words by themselves. Okay, so as an art person, when I walk outside and I look at atoms that have been grouped together to form molecules, the molecules have grouped together and form other things, and then we have something like that tree right there. You know, now this we can put together. This is a little, we have all kind of things in this room that don't really form stuff. But when I look at things from nature at a certain place, I go, now what's the possibility these, like the blocks, just decided totally by happenstance for the atoms connect together to turn into molecules, the molecules turn together and become matter, different differentiated matter. I would have to say, wow, that's pretty. That's like taking all the parts of a watch and putting it in your pocket and shaking it in a box and then go, nothing, shake it again. Do that a billion times maybe, and maybe it starts making a ticking sound, you know? It wouldn't do that, but you know. So I want to tell a person that's an atheist, I go, you know, watch, you're really spiritual. I mean, you got to be really spiritual to believe that this happened by happenstance. It's so much easier to walk around and look at anything that you see on this planet or even beyond this planet and go, oh, this is a sign of intelligence. Now, I don't know if the intelligent one who did this is still around, hasn't moved on somewhere else in the universe, or multidimensional now, dimensionally left, or is still here. And then I don't know if they're good or up to some other reason that they've made this, but there's something, someone out there that has made stuff. So I'm just dying to have this conversation with her and see where this goes. We'll see. So that was yesterday. Turn with me to Psalms 46 for a minute. I was also reading Psalms 46 yesterday, and it really kind of hit some of this stuff. You know, they what did they say in Israel, that they, a million people took shelter in Israel? While they knocked down 99% of all the drones and the missiles and the cruise missiles that were shot yesterday toward them. Thank you, Lord. This is New American Standard. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many Jewish people are seeing this right now? How many of them have turned to Psalms? And that part right there is lighting up to them. I hope so. I mean, there's a bunch. You know they're not just all reading the newspaper. You know that there are spiritual people all over the world in Judaism. And there's some in Israel, especially if you're in a foxhole kind of situation. Right. Yeah. Verse 2, therefore, since he is a refuge and a strength and a very present help in our trouble, therefore we will not fear. Not just the Jewish people, but Christian, anybody that has a relationship with him. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Earthquake-like stuff. Though its waters roar and foam. Though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. We know that there's somebody who's writing this has experienced an earthquake. To write a song like this. To put this in a tune. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. I know that there are parents reading this to their children somewhere. God will help her when morning dawns. Whew, it's strong. It's always getting strong up here. I think God cares about Israel. I know he cares about us, but I think he cares about Israel. About his Jewish children. We're the grafted on limb. If the grafted on limb has experience, then what is the whole tree like? God is in verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Oh, Lord, may they just lean into this. May they just take this to heart and memorize this. And the Christians too. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Whoever else is doing war against his people. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's repeating what he said earlier. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Is that strong or is it just strong here? It's strong, isn't it? I don't know what's going to happen next. In the United States, I don't know all these. I don't know. I don't know. We take comfort in all this. We're Yeah. Yeah. But when we become fearful, or one of our friends becomes fearful, we need to be able to comfort them with what we've been comforted with, whether they know him or not, or on the verge of it. My wife, I don't know when she discovered Jordan Peterson, but I am having the very best time. His daughter, his blonde-headed daughter, I don't know how many kids he has, but she's looks like she's in her 30s, and she's got a podcast. Her mother's got a podcast. You know, he goes around speaking every place. The man started reading encyclopedias when he was 5 years old, I found out. Like, so he's sitting on the end of the sofa, and on the other end is his wife. Now, his wife is a believer, and she talks kind of at a cadence that we talk at. His mind, I think I'm ADD. I mean, he's like on 10 cups of coffee all the time, and it's just his brain. He's just, it won't stop. And the daughter is very intelligent. And the daughter has decided to do a series of podcasts interviewing her parents. And so in this particular one, she's given them a test on personality stuff. And so she'll go, well, Dad, now on this question, you answered this. And Mom, you answered it this way. So then you hear this dialogue from the coming from the parents with the daughter. It's just funny. It's just fascinating to listen to people. And I had noticed a few times that when he's speaking, he just seems to like, it's not like the where I play with the old guy, like, get off my grass. But I realized that if I had the intellect that Jordan Peterson had, and my mind ran at the speed that his runs at, then he would have trouble listening to the rest of us. Because before we got the first sentence out of a paragraph, he already knew the answer and the whatever about whatever. And the guy can't help that he's really this smart and that his brain works this fast. And that his wife, on the other hand, is more steady state kind of. She's really got to be really intelligent to marry him, you know. But they just move at different rates. And if you've heard him speak from the platform at some meeting somewhere, he is so close that I can't, like, he's so close to becoming one of God's kids. He tears up when he starts talking about it. I heard him the other day, and he was talking in something, and it was a series, some of these series that Patsy's found with the daughter. And the daughter's asked some question and about something to do with God, and he just tears up. And he tears up because he says, you know, I just sit around and think about this for hours. What if it's true? That's my thought. What if it's true? What if? What if this what if there's a creator, and what if this is the, what if this book that I have gone through, and he's read it all multiple times, you can tell. You know, what if what I'm reading is the truth? What is the outcome of that? It is so profound, he said, that I just freeze. I can't move. He's close, y'all. I mean, he is so close. This is like a different version of, like, C.S. Lewis, you know, is reading along and he's read all this stuff. And then he, in his logical way, I can only imagine in the few audio tapes I have of Lewis speaking, his cadence, that he would be sitting there and go, ah, well, undoubtedly, I'm down to Christianity and Buddhism or something, whatever the other one was. He got down to a couple. And then he went, well, I'm going to have to choose Christianity because it makes the most sense. So it's sort of like, well, I believe in you. Yeah. Yeah. But I expect, you know, in that voice, in that cadence of Lewis, I can hear him saying that. And then I hear Peterson, and it's like, this man has got enough passion for two or three people. I mean, he is just, if you see him walk on a stage, the whole room is full of college students because, or anybody, any group that have come to see him speak, and it's like, I don't want to start a conversation with him if I was standing still because I couldn't hold up my end of it because it's like, he knows depths about everything. He can't help it. You know, reading encyclopedias and undoubtedly retaining all of it since he was little. I don't know where I'm going with it. Okay, so back there and in between and after the girl from the Chinese lady from Los Angeles, that part in Psalms 46 when he talks about the river, I started thinking about, let's see, there's this one about the river going under the door, Ezekiel chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the house of God. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under the right side of the house from south of the altar. So for no good reason, the water is starting to flow from inside the temple. And it's flowing toward the door because the water in the floor is getting deep from the altar. Verse 2, and he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. And then the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand. And he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, and the water was reaching the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and water was reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000, this is 3,000, led me through the water where the water was reaching the loins, is up to his waist. Again he measured, this is now 4,000, 1,000, and it was a river that I couldn't ford, I couldn't walk across, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that couldn't be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I'd returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and down into the Arabah, and they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh. Now, is that the Dead Sea? Is that what he's talking about? The waters have become fresh? I meant to look it up, so I can't totally be sure, but I believe that's what we're talking about. Verse 9, and it will come about that every living creature that swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. He talks about the fishermen standing and it names from one place to this other place, a place where they can spread out their nets, and the fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the Great Sea, meaning the Mediterranean, very many. But its swamps and its marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. There's always this two sides of things. And by the river on its banks on one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. And their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. And they will bear every month because of the water that flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. What is the prophet saying? Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. He is seated in the place of honor at our Father's throne right now, waiting for Dad to tell him to come back. He is the source of life. He will be, it says, that when he comes, there'll no longer be a son because he will be the light of all things. The radiant presence of Jesus, the Son of God, will be the source of light on the new earth. As a Christian, it's not hard to not believe this because, well, I see leaves. I see atoms together forming molecules and the molecules grouping together based on the genetics of the plant. I see each of you. You're all profoundly made. If the world gets in a really hard place in the next months, weeks, year, it would be an excellent place if we will keep our heads and walk with God to be a source of comfort to those that are full of fear. We cannot become full of fear. We become dysfunctional. We are the representatives of the kingdom of fear. There's jobs to be done. I don't know what they are. May we not come up with our own. We see this in the political arena in America. You know, some of us have talked about that. You know, it's like the days of the moral majority. That was a dumb, dumb thing. They wanted God to give a stamp of approval on their political part. We are at a place that close to the same kind of stuff. You know, it's all distraction, but it's real. There is spiritual warfare. There is an increase of spiritual warfare, and that leads to sometimes natural warfare. There is a river from God with life on both sides of the river. And the leaves of the trees and fruit every month, the symbolism of that, of all the kinds, all the kinds of Christians, all the kinds of believers, all the kinds of completed Jewish people that know the Messiah, all of that. And you're very walking around like your tree, like your leaves, you are for the healing of the nations. You just have to show up. Just show up because the kingdom is with you and the Holy Spirit is in you and on you as you go around. Just show up. It's true, isn't it? It's true. The enemy does not want you and I to believe that. That's why those lyrics of all those songs, Karen, that you sang, that was all true. That's all true. That we're singing, you know, we're singing about him, we're singing about relationship, we're singing about who Jesus is, the Lamb, his blood, his work. It's all true. It's all true. He has sent the Spirit to be with us and on us. In us. Just, if I start spouting off Fox or whoever, I mean, I was so desperate last night, I was wanting to kind of catch up. But like, they go to commercial and I'd go to CNN. I don't ever listen to CNN anymore, but I was going to CNN because they usually got people in the field. I just want to see, how's it going? How's things going? You know? I want the Iranians saved. I want everybody up in the northwest part of the United States that have gotten together and out there going, death to America. I went, wow, really? You know, there's some part of me that wants to go, let me just put y'all all on buses and help you out of the country. You know, you come to this country and you've got all this freedom and your ability to like say your piece, but you know, that's not very nice of you to want the country, like, in fact, it's pretty stupid if you want the country destroyed and you're wanting to chant this out there. And the reason that you can even chant this and they've not locked you up like in other countries is because of America and our history. I'm going to go, I hate to call them idiots, but I want to go, our forefathers left England, got together, wrote some wonderful things that God anointed some people to write, and we have a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution, and the reason, and because of all this that it functions, you want to destroy it. Okay, I'm all right. Distraction. May you and I this week listen, because I'm still that verse. I need to write it on something. So he says it multiple times in Isaiah, but I ran into it this last week, you know, where he says, I came and there was no one there to listen. Oh, Lord. No watchman. No one listening. Oh, may we not be a church in America and just fill our mouth with our own stuff and not listen. May there be people that listen and watch and talk to you about things. This back and forth. Lord, thank you for this Lord's Day. Encourage us all. Bless the Jewish people wherever they are on the earth. And the Christians, may they work with each other. May we all serve you, Lord. Bring them to the saving awareness that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One. In his name we pray. Amen.